the Lord God Almighty reigns. The Lamb of God. Alleluia. Come, Jesus. Alleluia. For the Lord God Almighty reigns. Lift your heart. Alleluia. Holy, holy are you, Lord God Almighty. Worthy is the Lamb, worthy is the Lamb. You are holy. Worthy is the Lamb, worthy is the Lamb, amen. Reach out with faith and see the Lamb of God who took all your sins away, who made you free because your faith is in him, not in anything we have. Sit down. And we sing together. Alleluia. Alleluia. For the Lord God Almighty reigns. Alleluia. God Almighty reigns. Alleluia. Holy, holy are you, Lord God Almighty. Worthy is the Lamb. Is the Lamb, you are holy, holy, Yeshua. Are you Lord God Almighty? Worthy is the Lamb, worthy is the Lamb, you are holy. Hallelujah. Worthy is the Lamb, worthy is the Lamb, Amen. Oh Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the roaring thunder, the power throughout the universe display. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art. When through the wood and forest glades I wander and hear the birds sing sweetly in the tree, when I look in grandeur and see the brook and feel the gentle breeze, then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou. Thou art, how great thou art. Christ shall come. Yes, Lord. With shout of acclamation and take me home. What joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and then proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art! How great thou art! Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art! How great thou art! You may be seated. Now's the time where we do offerings and tithes. If you're new here, don't feel obliged to. We welcome you. But this is a part of worship. This is a part of letting go. This is a part of releasing our hands for all the things we grasp onto here, which can bring us no satisfaction. Nothing we do will bring us close to God, only faith in His blood. And when we let go with our hands of this world, of the things that we have, that is an act of worship. That is an act of faith, knowing that I don't need this. All I need is you. You are all that I truly need. So, Lord, we acknowledge that you are all we need. We need nothing else. We desire a lot, but we need nothing else but you. Change our hearts, Lord, as we let go, to bless those things that we still have, to bring our hearts in the line with you so that our desire rests on you, because then we will be truly free and free indeed. In Jesus' name, amen. Ushers, come forth. God, I'm running for your heart, I'm running for your heart, till I am a soul on fire, Lord. I'm longing for your ways, I'm waiting for the day, till I am a soul on fire, till I am a soul on fire. I'm running for your heart, I'm running for your heart, till I am a soul on fire, Lord. I'm longing for your ways, I'm waiting for the day when I am a soul on fire, when I am a soul on fire.
soul on fire, Lord. I'm longing for your ways. I'm waiting for the day when I am a soul on fire. When I am a soul on fire, Lord, restore the joy I have. I have wandered, bring me back. In this darkness, lead me through until.
Soul on fire. Well, I am a soul on fire. Lord, let me burn to you again. Lord, let me turn to you again. Lord, let me burn for you. A soul on fire, Lord. I'm waiting for your ways. I'm waiting for the day when I am a soul on fire. Till I am a soul on fire. Till I am a soul on fire. Lift up a praise to the Lord.
Awesome. Give the worship team a hand. Good job, guys. This is not just the Mick and Jamie show, after all. I just want to start by thanking all of our volunteers, people that volunteer at any capacity. Will you guys give basically yourselves a hand? Some of you guys know that I moved here from Nashville, Tennessee, 3 years ago to California. I became a professional musician when I was 15, and then from then on, I toured around the country doing a lot of different things. About 10, maybe 12 years ago, something different happened in the industry where, because of the computers and illegal downloading and things like that, everything changed. People didn't purchase music the same way. The industry was just thrown on its ear. We had to figure out a different way to do the same thing that we always did. The people that became successful are the ones that, instead of looking back and being frustrated that people weren't buying tapes and CDs anymore, we had to adapt and say, okay, this social media thing will help us. Record companies don't have money to pay for things anymore, but we can go directly to the consumer with Facebook and MySpace and Instagram, all that stuff. So basically, if we looked forward and figured out a way to manage with what we have now, those are the ones that survived. There's been multiple industries throughout the last several years that have been affected with an overhaul of how people consume things, from Netflix to movies to Uber, Redbox, all these different things shut down the industry before it. I learned that after coming into church ministry, that church ministry was affected the same way in some ways. People don't come to church the way they used to. It's just what it is. There's a lot of distractions. There's people that have things on Sundays with their kids. They watch YouTube. There's all kinds of stuff that people can do instead of being in church. But I've also learned that now the gauge is different for what a thriving church is. You have to do it differently if you're going to be effective. So that's why we emphasize here the things that happen between Monday and Saturday, not just Sunday. If we only focused on Sunday, we die. The 165 hours outside of the 3 hours here, 9 to 12, is what makes us a thriving church. Because people can't get what happens at WOW on YouTube. They can't get what happens at Outpouring when 60 people come on a Friday night. They can't get that on YouTube. They can't get what Colleen's thing started on Thursday when 50 people show up to just hear the word of God. They can't get that on YouTube. So the things that we do outside of Sunday is what makes us a thriving church today. Another thing that we do is we are very active in our community. Most of you know this. Some of you are new. We've got a lot of new people here now. But we have things in the summer in particular that really makes our church stand out in our community. We have the Labor Day Derby. We have Adventure Camp. We have movie nights. All of these things are ways for us to show the community that church isn't stuffy and boring. We do different things. Like, I know some of you watch me and Mick and Rachel's Facebook Live things. We just talk about random things and debate them. It's just to show people that church people are okay, you know? And so all those kind of different things make us a church that matters in 2017. So I just wanted to point out some of the things that we have coming up that thankful for all of you that already volunteer. There's so many of you. We have a high percentage of people that participate in this church, which is amazing. But for you new people, this is just what we do. This is who we are. We serve. We serve our community. So we invite you to join us. So I'm going to point out a few things that are coming up that you can participate in. First of all, tomorrow at 6 o'clock, we're going to decorate a float for the July 4th parade on Tuesday morning. So we're going to decorate it at the church office at 6 o'clock, and then the next morning we're going to meet at 8:30, and we're going to walk and give out things from our community. We're going to give out little frisbees and stuff like that, just serving the community. So you can participate that way. We have Adventure Camp coming up in 2 weeks that we need people to help us with, what is it? Small group leaders. Thanks, Rachel. Rachel's there. Thank you. We need small group leaders. We need people to help us set up things on Monday. We have Mr. Jay and his band coming in. We could use guys to help us lift all of his heavy stuff out of his trailer and load it into the gym, things like that. We also have the Labor Day Derby, obviously, coming up. We're gearing up for that. All of these different things you can participate in. Even things down to, we have the Adopt-A-Grad things that we're still trying to find more people to adopt one of our graduates going into the first year of life after high school, and you can just help by giving them little notes and send them text messages encouraging them. You can buy them things, send them care packages, just things like that. So let me see, make sure I'm not forgetting anything. I think that's it. So basically, there's going to be people out there at the Connect Center for you to talk to about any one of these things. This is when it gets pretty busy around here. Between now and then, we go straight in out of Labor Day Derby. We have the building bridges the next month. But that's who we are. This is what we do. So I'm going to pray for Sean as he comes to give us a message today. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for the break in the heat. Thank you that the air conditioner seems to be working this morning. Lord, thank you for the word that Sean's going to bring. Lord, we thank you for this weekend. We thank you for the 4th of July. We thank you for our country. We thank you, Lord, for this great country. We're not perfect. We've got a lot of things that need to be better. But thank you that we were born or ended up here somehow. We're thankful, Lord, for the freedom that we have to gather today and worship you and make you first in our lives. I ask you to bless Sean's words, speak through his vocal cords, speak through his mind. Pray that we can receive everything that he has to say this morning. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks, Jamie. We had a lot going on this summer. I was like, wow. Hey, well, I don't know what you do for 4th of July, but I think so many times it's easy to kind of give a tip of the hat to the founding fathers and freedom and you know, mom and apple pie and all those things. We didn't have Mick not sing because he's from England this weekend, just so you know, But, you know, I recently saw the musical Hamilton, which was an incredible experience. I would sing some of it, but an Irishman singing hip-hop is just wrong. And but I love the play because it was basically Alexander Hamilton, which a lot of us may have not heard a whole lot, even though he was incredible as one of our founding fathers, founded the Coast Guard and started our Treasury Department, and was just this young man who at age of 19 was just, as they described it, he was just, in this song, they were young, hungry, and scrappy, or scrappy and hungry, or something like that. They just were eager to make a difference. They were eager to stand up for something that was right. They were eager to fight for religious freedom and for just being a free nation, not under tyranny. And I remember as I was watching that play, the thing that stood out most of all to me was just this challenge. And it's, look, you know, if you want to make a difference, you have to get involved. You know, you have to take action. And the reason it was called the Revolutionary War is because it was a revolution. It was a revolution. In fact, when the states won that war, the song that was being sung upon the war's victory was "The World Turned Upside Down." That was the name of the song. I'm sure it was different than the musical than it was back then because it was an old bar song. But the thing is that for them, they just wanted to be involved in the world being turned upside down. And just so you know, it wasn't just about protest. I think for some reason in our mind, we think that if we don't like anything, you know, you don't like the way your sandwich is made, let's have a protest. You know, it just seems like, and this is not a political commercial, but it wasn't just every time you disagree about something, I know, let's protest, okay? This was about, you know what, if we are really going to live out our beliefs, then it only occurs when we take action. And I think that as we talk about the passion of something like the Revolutionary War that we celebrate every year with the 4th of July, right? I mean, this is about freedom. There's a freedom that Christ gives us that to me has far greater implications that sometimes just gets put on the side. You see, 4th of July is easy to, you know, we wear our red, white, and blue, and some of you did that, good for you. And we kind of go through the motions, but do we really think of the huge significance of what that day's all about? And in the same manner, do we really think about the huge significance that when we put our faith into action, the difference that makes in the world about us? You see, we've been talking about hearing the voice of God. And this whole message series is about how we tune into him daily. And yet, here's the deal, is that if we hear, if we talk about God speaking to us, and then we actually start listening, and we find that God starts giving us direction, we find that God gives us nudgings and whispers and sometimes even audibly speaks to us, you know, if we find that God's speaking, the question is, what are we going to do about it? The book of James has this to say in James 1 and 22. It says, "Do not merely be hearers of the word and so deceive yourselves, but do what it says." And that's what I want to talk about. I want to talk about doing what God speaks to us. I want to talk today about not just being hearers of the word, but being doers. I want to talk about faith and deeds. So I want to read to you a passage from James chapter 2. You can follow along on your phone apps or I think maybe on the screen, is it? All right, James chapter 2, verses 14 through 26. And it's about faith in action. It says this, "What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, 'Go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed,' but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, but if it's not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, 'You have faith, I have deeds.' Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do. You believe there is one God. Good. Even the demons believe that, and they shudder. You foolish man, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our ancestor Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see, his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was filled that says Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend. You see that a person is justified by what he does and not by faith alone. In the same way, was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. So, you know, this is all about this morning is faith and deeds. It's about when we hear God speaking, when we follow God's lead, then it calls us to a certain point of action. You see, God gives us the freedom to act in his name. And we are never meant to sit at the sidelines, but to actively listen to God and then do what he says. I mean, have you ever met someone who, someone says, well, that's a real Christian. Well, you want to know what a Christian's like? That's a real Christian. And what is it about that person that catches your attention so? Is it that they're so pious? Is it that they, you know, dress a certain way? It's usually, not always, but it's usually because you see them actually living out what they profess to believe. And there's a consistency between what they say and how they live. And there's a care that goes beyond themselves. There's a focus, there's a rightness in their living that comes because they're actually living it out. And I think that's what James is talking about here. When he's talking about real living, freedom acting faith. And so here's the thing. There are a couple things that real faith is not, right? Real faith is not just something you talk about, right? It's more than words or sympathy. I know when Patty and I were dating, right, I was working for a Christian outreach organization called Youth for Christ. And I remember we'd been dating for a while, and you know, I was, you know, very committed to her when no one else was around. But she was on my volunteer staff. That's a whole other story. She went, and I gave this talk for all these volunteer leaders. And I gave this talk about male-female relationships and what godly men do, and it was just a great talk. I was so impressed with myself. And I remember afterwards we left. I said, "So what'd you think?" And I'll never forget what she said. She says, "Well, you talk a good story." Yeah, exactly. Okay, so Patty didn't speak up too much in those days to me on those things, but boy, when she did, it got my attention. She said, "You talk a good story." I said, "Well, what does that mean?" She said, "You know what? I don't know what's going to go on in this relationship." This was earlier in Daniel's, but she said, "I just know that I'm here for you, and whatever happens, we'll see, but I'm in, but you're just here for me when it's convenient." Yeah, that's one way to say it, all right, but yeah, and you know, I just thought about that, and I'd like to think that I've changed, but I thought about that, and I thought, you know, and that was a turning point in our relationship, believe it or not, because I realized, you know, that if I claim to be this godly man or this guy who honors relationships or commitment, that there's something that needs to be lived out here and not just talked about. And so James is pretty clear about that. What good is it if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can that faith save him? And so you see, here's the thing. The person who lives out what God is speaking to them takes initiative. They get involved. I love the way the Message translation says, it says, "Dear friends, do you think you'll get anywhere in this if you learn all the right words but never do anything? Does merely talking about faith indicate that a person really has it? Isn't it obvious that God talk without God acts is outrageous nonsense?" You see, real faith is not just something you talk about, and real faith is not just something you feel. It's more than just emotions or sentiment. I mean, this is, you know, the Bible's so clear here. It says, "Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, 'Go in peace, keep warm, be well fed,' but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it?" 1 John 3:17, "If anyone has mere material possessions and sees his brother in need but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him?" 1 John 4:11, "Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." And the sad thing here is that people are watching. People are watching to see what the church really is. And to be honest, many of them already formed their opinions, right? And it's not necessarily a favorable one. I was at this very school on a career day. And some of you heard me talk about this, because what they did is, it used to be kids signed up for certain speakers and said, you're a kid, and they just assign you to someone. And imagine the poor kid who on career day gets to go hear the pastor. Right? Yeah. Wow, I drew the short straw. I don't get to hear the guy from Pixar or the guy from Levi Strauss or the guy from Harley Davidson. I got the pastor. And so, you know, the first question they ask me is, well, what do? You just work on Sundays? And, you know, I said, well, you know, and I'm trying to tell, you know, well, we do a lot of things, you know, and they, well, what do? And so, you know, I started talking about, you know, and I started talking and just sharing with them some of the things that we've made a difference for people in this community. And I said to them, you know, last month, 35 people had their power turned off in Clayton. They were like, what? I said, you know, we helped a lot of those people get back started up again. Do you know, just a couple months ago, we got to build a school in Uganda, and I showed them a video of Colin Renwick. And you know, we've started getting together as a missions team with our benevolence team. We said, you know what, we really want to make a difference in our community. We want to really be the church. And so we've been talking about different ways that we can be involved in friends feeding friends, or I just went blank on a couple of the other names. Jerome Knott, Love a Child. The Monument Corridor, Monument Impact. You know, we're talking now about getting backpacks for kids at Meadow Home School, which is near the Monument Corridor, and actually providing backpacks for Colin Winrick's school in Uganda, and not his school, but the school that he works with. And we started just talking about, you know what, we can all say, great, you know what, there are people who are hurting, and you know what, you're not going to fix all the problems in the world, you know. Who's it going to make a difference for? Well, it's going to make a difference for that one. It's going to make a difference for that one. And I can sit and I can talk about being someone who loves others, but you know what, people will see my love in my actions. And I think, you know, so many times when we talk about hearing the voice of God, I think this is where people kind of tend to go weird on us, right? Because they say, well, if I hear the word of God, that means I'm supposed to do some great thing, go build this church. And, well, we've been praying that for years. But we're going to get there. We're going to get there. But, you know, so often, isn't it the small things? You're listening to God and God speaks to you, and you see someone hurting and you just reach out and you care, or it's just a little act of kindness, and you say, well, is that really going to make a difference? Well, it made a difference for that person. And I think so often we can get so caught up in the busyness of our lives that we forget about the freedom that Christ has given us. Just in the same way as we take for granted the freedom that we have in this country. And so real faith is not just something you talk about. It's not just something you feel. Real faith is not just something you think. It's not just some intellectual trip, right? I love what he said in verse 18. I can already hear one of you agreeing by saying, sounds good. You take care of the faith department. I'll handle the works department. Not so fast. You can no more show me your works apart from your faith than I can show you my faith apart from my works. Faith and works, works and faith fit together hand in glove. Because you see, real faith always produces a change. If you know it, you show it. Now, see, here's the thing. Good deeds don't save us. I mean, we don't do good things so that God will notice us. We don't do good things so that we will be saved. Right? That's already been given to us. But out of the gratitude that's in our hearts, out of the thankfulness that's in our hearts, God says, you know what, doesn't it just make sense that you want to do something to just live that out in gratitude? See, talk is cheap. I love the words in 2 Timothy. He's just so frank about it. He says, mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents. Ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control. It goes on and on. But this is what he says about it. He says, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. Have nothing to do with such people. And then it goes on a little further and says, these are people who are always learning, but never able to acknowledge the truth. You see, talk is cheap. And real faith is more than just something you believe. I think the very first time I read this passage, it made me laugh. Because, you know, he says, look, you know what? You believe in God? Well, guess what? So do the demons. You know, I talk to people all the time, and I say, well, you know, do you practice faith, or do you live out faith? And he said, well, you know, I'm kind of spiritual. Well, whoop-de-freaking-do. You know, can I say that in church? I don't know. You know, can you say that in church? I don't know why I'm looking to you, Jeff. I don't know. Thanks. That's why I was looking to Jeff. He backed me. I looked at Ron. He's not even not. I don't know. But the thing is, that's the thing. It says, you believe there's one God? Even the demons believe that. I know I'm blushing now. I don't know. But see, here's the thing. You know, to believe is to have confidence in the truth. The existence of reliability is something firm. It's a conviction. I'll tell you what, the demons are convicted that God is real. But here's the difference, is that when I entrust my life to Christ, that's to commit to another with confidence. That's both feet in wholeheartedly. It's letting what you know in your head sink down to your heart and to your actions. Do demons hear God speak? Oh, yeah. And it scares them. Do people who put their faith in Jesus Christ hear God speak? Oh, yes. And it not only brings comfort and peace and joy, but it gives purpose and direction and hope. You see the difference? See the difference? Because real faith is something you do. I thought it was interesting that, you know, if you think, well, I don't know if that's really pertains to me, you know, and you know, because that's kind of more for spiritual people. And then I love the fact that his two chief examples are Abraham, who was kind of a shaky guy in his faith when he first started off, right? And then Rahab the prostitute. I mean, that's a rough title just right there, you know? Who's this? This is Rahab the prostitute. She is one of our key examples of great faith. So if you think, you know, oh, man, I don't know if I'm spiritual enough. I don't know if I'm good at it. Well, okay, well, here's the thing. Rahab and Abraham have one thing in common. Their faith and their actions were working together. I love the way the message said it. He says, it's that mesh of believing and acting that got Abraham named God's friend. And then he says, the same with Rahab, the Jericho harlot. It wasn't her action in hiding God's spies and helping them escape. That seamless unity of believing and doing what counted with God. See, I think that this is just saying, you know what? It doesn't, so many times, and it's particularly in James today, it didn't matter what you believe or did as long as you believed. And I think God's calling us out on that, right? Now, here's the key, is that our faith is not determined by what we do, but our faith is demonstrated by what we do. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for it is by grace you've been saved through faith, not of works, lest anyone should boast. And so let's kind of get that out of the way, that there's nothing you can do that will make God love you any more. And there's nothing you can do that will make God love you any less. But there comes a point where out of that gratitude for that love, that it changes the way you behave. Now, I can tell you, you know, I've been married 32 years, and there are times when I do things for my wife just because I know it'll keep me out of trouble. But more often than not that I get in trouble, I think my wife's looking at me like, well, thanks a lot, buddy. No, but more often than not, what I find is because of this incredible love that I have for my wife, there are things that I just want to do that I know will honor her, that I know will bless her. And I think, how much more do I want to bless the Lord of the universe for all that he's given me and the love he has shown me? And so I look at this passage and I just start asking, you know, that it would be easy to get legalistic about all this. It'd be easy to just kind of make our spiritual checklist and say, okay, I did that, I must be spiritual. I did this, I must be a real believer. I did this, and yet here's the thing, is that I think that God calls us in this whole understanding of faith and deeds working together. It is. It's a seamless unity of believing and doing. There's a unity that we live out what we believe because there's a reason that God speaks to us. There's a reason. And so, you know, I started thinking about, does my faith affect my lifestyle? Is my faith consistent with my actions? 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. And so, you know, I started writing down just some things that I thought, you know, okay, if I'm truly living out my faith, what's that going to look like? Now, I have to be careful with this. This is the part where it would be easy to turn this into a piety test, right? A religious test, you know, check off these 10. If you got 8 out of 10, you are a spiritual person. And I don't want to do that. I don't want this to be a checklist of faith. What my prayer is that every day that when we get up in the morning, it's, Lord, how can I glorify you? What are you saying to me today? What do you want me to do this day to bring glory to your name? And as that I live that out, I see a difference in the world about me. So I started just writing out some things that for me, I guess things that kept me on the right track, right? Oftentimes, I officiate at funeral services. And it's an interesting time. The one time people can't escape God. And I just know that oftentimes people want to know, did this person have some type of faith? And there are times when I have been at those services and everyone says, oh man, there's no doubt that this person loved God and lived for him. And then there are times when I'm done with the service, I get people that ask me this question that I always hate. They say, well, do you think he made it? Because they're really not quite sure. And I thought, well, what's the difference? What is the difference here? And so I just started thinking about, you know, what is it that for me, not a litmus test, but what are some of the things that for me are reminders that the God who is in me is working in me on a day-to-day basis to will and to act according to his good pleasure. And so I started asking these questions. Do I live my life with an overwhelming sense of gratitude for what Jesus has done for me? Or do I just take things for granted and people for granted? Do I pray and look for opportunities to tell others about the love of Christ? Do I have a strong desire to grow spiritually? Do I spend time in prayer and God's word on a regular basis? Do I find myself moving towards Christian community by developing more and deeper relationship with other followers of Christ? Do I see a noticeable difference in the development of my character? You know, the Bible talks about the fruits of the Spirit. Do I have an increasing desire to orient my life around God's purposes in this world? Do I consistently help people in need? Would people say that my words, my language reflect the Christian life in a positive way? I guess that's the answer to the earlier. Do I spend time encouraging, praying for others who are struggling with life and faith? Does the way I treat my spouse, kids, and friends honor Jesus? You know, James just kind of hits us to the core. He says, show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do. I'm all in. I want to go the whole way. This is what James is saying. You know, he says, are you serious about your faith by what you do? And do I actively live out the freedom God has given me to act in his name? And so I guess what I really want to challenge you this week is we've been talking so much about tuning in daily to God and how God will speak to us if we are listening. And I guess the challenge this week is I just want to say, okay, what's one thing that you feel that God is saying to you that you now are going to act upon? I can't pick that for you. But I do believe this, that God is speaking. And if you are listening, God is going to speak specific things to you in which he wants you to take intentional action. And the question is, will you do it or will you walk away? And I don't think that's a guilt trip. I don't think that's a shame. I think that's an opportunity to get in on what God is doing. And God shares these things because he wants you to partner with him and experience his joy. And I think that's why James points this out. Because this is faith that works. So I just want to pray for you. I just want to pray for you this day that as we continue to talk about what it means to tune into God daily, that you would not just hear the word, but you would do what it says. I just want to pray for you. So Lord Jesus, thank you that we have this holiday where we see that people took action for things that were not working well in our country, against tyranny and religious persecution. And they took a stand, and they took action, and the world was turned upside down. And I just pray, Lord, that as we hear what it means to have faith, that we show our faith by our deeds, not to gain your favor, to live out the joy and the gratitude that you put in our hearts. So, Lord, I don't know how you're going to challenge each person this week, but I pray that you do. I pray that you do. Thank you. Thank you for speaking to us. Help us to live it out. Amen. Anyway, we're having this last song. We've got people who are just going to go in every corner of the room. And if today is a day you just need prayer, we're here. And so let's just stand for those who want to stand. Just kind of let God soak in and speak to you what he's saying. This